You can be turning to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 6. I want to preach this morning on preparing for the storm. Just kind of fits. Preparing for the storm. You know, we are truly unprepared for a lot of storms in life. I think about we have been hit for over a week about the danger of the storm that's hitting Florida right now. And yet, and I think about Harvey. Of course, we just went through that. You know, 70 people died in Harvey. That's less than what died in the month of July by murder in Chicago, Illinois. Right. Yeah. And that's just one city in America. Just one. There are other cities that have even a higher per capita death rate than Chicago, Illinois. But we're taken up with a hurricane, and rightly so. But we seem to be unbothered about the constant death in our own country by violence. Well, I want you to notice, beginning in verse 3, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Thank God for that verse. "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Now go over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to notice verse 7. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Now go over to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Notice beginning in verse 4. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Preparing for the storm. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I beg you again this morning for the filling of the Holy Ghost of God, that as I preach, your word would go forth in power. No doubt, Lord, there are some today that are totally unprepared for the spiritual storm that's coming. God, I pray today the Spirit of God would get a hold of their heart, convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, turn hearts to you. And God, for every believer, may we understand our responsibilities to our God during this time before the storm. Have your way in our lives, and Father, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have bombarded in the last month with all kinds of weather warnings. Not just Irma, but also Harvey. We've been bombarded with all of that, and rightly so. Millions of people have fled the wrath that's supposed to be poured out by these storms. And I think perhaps the Floridians have learned from the Texans and Harvey that there's a wise time to flee, at least for the most part. Officials have called for the largest evacuation of people in the history of the United States from one individual state. The potential for the loss of life has been catastrophic, and wisely, people have taken precautions. Some, of course, in finding a different place to be when the storm hits. Others have taken precautions, not necessarily for their lives, but they have for their own property, as if that will help in some cases. We've been warned for over 10 days what's been in store for Florida, and we've been watching the Weather Channel and the other weather. I hardly ever watch the Weather Channel, but I've seen more of it in the last 10 days than I've seen in the last 5 years. I'm not a big fan of the Weather Channel. But anyway, in Harvey, 70 died. So far in the Caribbean, 25 have died from Irma. So that is a lot of people dying. Now, it may be over 100 by the time that we're done today. Millions have fled its path, taking the warnings very seriously. But we have to understand the reason so many people have left is because they've had warnings. And they've had a lot of warnings. It's not just been the TV. It's been the internet. It's been the drugs report. It's been the federal government. It's been the state government. I couldn't have even told you who the governor of Florida was until this came about. And I've seen him wearing that Navy hat, you know, over and over again, warning people about what's going to take place. I mean, when they issue announcements like, if you're staying, put your Social Security number on your arm so we can identify the body. I think that sounds pretty serious. So a lot of people have left because they got the warnings. Well, Noah got a warning from God. He got a warning that he was going to destroy not just a city or a state or an island or two, but he was going to destroy the world. Now, when you compare the two, the catastrophe that was about to take place in Noah's day by far was much greater than any catastrophe that can take place by any storm or earthquake that happens here. But this was not about an event that would take place in the next week. It was not about an event that would take place in the next month. It was not about, this warning was not about an event that would take place in the next year or the next 10 years or the next 20 years. It was 100 years away. Now, we don't much worry about warnings 100 years from now. I mean, there's a whole lot of us, we know we're not going to be around 100 years from now on the planet. We know we'll be with God, but we know we're not going to be around here 100 years from now. And you can only imagine why, at least at the first, a lot of people didn't take it seriously. When Noah, that preacher of righteousness, went out and thundered the message of God about the sin of the people and then preached about the coming judgment, Noah took it seriously, but the millions of other people did not. Now, I want you to notice a few things today. First of all, notice the why of the storm. I mean, after all, this worldwide flood that was about to take place, far greater than the 50 inches they got in Houston. I mean, this covered everything. It covered the whole earth. And God even told them why that particular flood was going to take place. You go back to verse 5, and it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And they didn't have the internet. They didn't have Hollywood. They didn't have all the means by which they could put filth and smut and trash in their homes and in their minds and in their lives and in their family. And yet mankind has always been so bent on evil that they don't need technology to get involved in it. And surely the world was involved in it. You go to verse 11. And in verse 11 it says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was full of violence." You go down to verse 12. "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." You look at verse 13. "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them. Now that was God's statement on the wickedness of man. Now it is interesting to me that God said because of mankind's sin, because that was the culture of the day. Boy, we explain away a lot of wickedness on the basis of culture. Like if the culture says something's all right, it's all right. We've been murdering babies in their mother's womb for almost the last 50 years. And in doing that, we've made it sound like it's all right because that's our culture. As a matter of fact, a great percentage of the people in this room, you've never lived in a country that didn't okay abortion. It's become normal. It's become commonplace. And now you've got people, it used to be when people committed sin, if they went out and committed fornication or adultery, they're ashamed of it. And now they're glad to introduce their fiance and their child with no shame. Because our culture has gotten so caught up in wickedness and filth. And people get on the TV and they'll claim to be homosexual and they're proud of it. And they're proud of their transgenderism and they're proud of their filth. And we're just supposed to accept it. But God doesn't. God didn't do it back then. God doesn't do it today. Sin is still sin. But anyway, the why of the storm that was about to take place was because of God's judgment upon a world in sin. I've got news for you. God even judged his people Israel when they went off into sin, when they followed other gods, when they followed the abomination of the other gods. God even warned them about some things that would take place. Turn over to the book of Leviticus in Leviticus chapter 18. I'll not read the entire passage, the entire chapter. But God goes through a list of sins of the Gentiles, the people in the promised land that were living there then, that Israel was not to commit. He lists a number of things. He lists nakedness. He lists fornication. He lists adultery. He lists about any kind of perversion that you could imagine. But I want you to notice when he gets down to verse 22... He says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. He says, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the, now underline this. And the land, get this, and the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you. And the land is defiled, the scripture says. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 22, he says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travail in pain together until now. Why? Because of the sins of mankind. I've got news for you. The problem with the earth is not a man-made climate change that comes from our factories. The problem with the earth, whether it be the tornadoes or the hurricanes or the earthquakes that take place, is because the land is spewing out the inhabitants because of the wickedness of their lifestyles. The why of the storm. Why would there be a worldwide flood? Because the imaginations of man's heart was only sin continually. And they have yelled so loudly for their sin. and told everybody that you're to be understanding and you're to be open-minded, that we've got churches that one time used to preach against sin and now they soft soap it and they say, that's all right, you're okay. God understands that we're all a little imperfect. God understands that we're all sinners. God understands that he hates sin, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. When Hurricane Katrina hit, and it destroyed all the gambling places along the Gulf Coast, we thought maybe we'd learned a lesson. No, we didn't learn a lesson at all. As a matter of fact, we used tax dollars to help build the gambling places back. We wonder, why on earth can't we get a little peace from this stuff? Because we've decided not to repent. We've decided not to get right with God. As a matter of fact, we shout down the churches and shout down the pastors who speak out against sin. And then wonder, where's God? Why is all this happening? Man, we've thrown God out. He's not going to be there to protect us. Amen. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us where it all came from. He says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. He declares in verse 23 of chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death. There is a penalty for sin. It's a real message of why, but it offends people. People get offended when you talk about their sin, when you talk about the murder of the innocents, when you talk about the murder of little babies in their mother's womb, when you talk about the wickedness of the lifestyles that abound all across our planet today. And people want to blame everything else when the reality is it's their own sin that is to blame. You know, it's interesting, when Lot was simply accepted in Sodom and Gomorrah, everything was fine. Everything was fine with the people. But Lot got a message that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and then Lot did the unthinkable. He went out and told people that they needed to flee from there because God was going to judge it, and then he became an enemy. They came by his door to try to have relations with the two angels that had come to his house. And now they hate him. Who is he to judge us? By the way, they're shouting the same thing today. God's judgment storm is coming. And they're still proud of their sin. Well, notice the warning of the storm. And the warning is very important. If there's no warning, then we can blame others for the problems that take place. As a matter of fact, some of you were around Huntsville in 1989. We had only been here for a month when the tornado hit South Huntsville. And some of you remember 21 people died in that tornado. The tornado struck during drive time at 4:30. The tornado warning went out at 4:35. It was the largest number of people killed in cars in a tornado in the history of the United States. Because many of those people were in their cars when the tornado picked up their cars. One car was thrown over a mile away with an occupant in it. It was a horrible situation. And boy, there was a hue and cry. We need a better warning system. And since that time, of course, they put up more sirens than any time before. We've got them all over the place. Quite often, if you live in the right places, you can hear more than one warning at a time when they begin to think there's the possibility of a tornado. The warning is everything. Well, God sent a warning to the world. And he didn't just send it in Noah's mouth. He was a preacher of righteousness. But they sent it as he built that ark. And as he worked on that ark for 100 years, they had the warning that God was going to judge. The Bible says, since he was a preacher of righteousness, we know that he warned the people, and yet the people would not heed the warning at all. There have been many times when people have heard a warning about some storm and they've not heeded it, only to suffer a fate that is death because they didn't heed it. But in this particular case here, we got a whole world apart from just 8 people. The whole world died, but Noah, his 3 sons, and their 3 wives. They all died because they would not heed the warning. Now, with that in mind, as a preacher of righteousness, with that warning God gave us, he's given a warning to everyone about judgment. The Bible declares, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I don't care who you are, whether you believe in God or not, you're going to give account of yourself to God. Amen. You say, which God? The God of the Bible. That's the one you're going to give an account to. You don't have to worry about Allah. You don't have to worry about Buddha. You don't have to worry about any of the Hindu gods. But you do need to worry about Jehovah God. Because every one of us should give account of himself to God. Now that's important. This warning of the coming storm. The Bible teaches very plainly, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. When the Apostle Paul talked about standing at the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, he says in verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Yeah. Oh my, I thought God was love. Yeah, but that's not all he is. He is love, but he's holy. He's righteous. He is just. And I've got news for you, friend. You don't have a clue what it means when the Bible says God is love if you don't understand first that he's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He is a just God. The Bible also calls him a jealous God. He doesn't share worship with anybody or anything else. Amen. He is a gracious God. Amen. And because of his love, he is gracious. Thank the Lord, because none of us deserve to go to heaven. The only way you can get there is through his grace, because he loved us enough to put his son on the cross of Calvary to die for your sins and mine. The warning, as Paul warned people. He said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 31, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. God gave us a complete, infallible book to warn us about eternity. Because life on this earth, whether you live to be 50 or 80 or 120 or 320, you're still going to die. For as it is appointed unto man once to die after this judgment. And this book that has been around forever, settled in heaven, is a warning to mankind that you must be born again. So we see the why of the storm and the warning for the storm. But then there's the waiting for the storm. And the problem with the people in Noah's day was obviously compounded by the fact that they waited too long. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how many people may have been knocking on the door of the ark to get in after the rain started. But that was too late, because it was God who shut the door. And when he shut the door, no one was getting in. You see, the Bible said, and we read it in Genesis chapter 6, he said, my spirit will not always strive with man. He bids you to come to him now, but you wait too long. And friend, you end up lost. God gives us a number of warnings that way, by the way. We heard several times about the warnings for people in Florida that a certain day was your last chance, your last opportunity to leave. I read a story the other day about somebody who tried to leave about 4 hours after the last chance, and they didn't get very far. It waited too long. You warn people, they don't get a clue. And then they wonder, why do bad things happen to us? Well, you wait too long. In the Bible, you've got a man that waited too long. I think of, we don't even know his name. We just known he was a rich man. Now, you know, something about riches, they're very deceptive. Riches make a person feel like he's got a lot more power than what he's got. He feels like with his money, he can stop all kinds of things. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ who told the story about the rich man and Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was a beggar. And the Bible says, and it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And then it says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented. planted in this flame. But it's too late. He asked for Abraham to send Lazarus to get a drop of water and put it on his tongue. And Abraham tells him, no, that can't be done. No matter who would want to, they can't get to you. And you can't get out. You are stuck there. He waited too long. I think about the farmer that wanted to build bigger barns. Jesus told the story about that farmer. And finally, he said, now I can eat, drink, and be merry. And Jesus said, thou fool, tonight you're dying. You waited too long. And the Bible warns us about that over and over. Proverbs 27:1, he declares, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I guarantee you there's probably somebody sitting here this morning who's not saved. You know you're not saved, but you're planning on getting saved one day. But let me warn you, Proverbs 29 and verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I'll tell you what, there were a whole lot of people in the Twin Towers on 9/11, had no idea what was about to hit them when the plane hit the towers and immediately incinerated. And what a horrible tragedy. Not just the plane going into the towers and snuffing out all those lives, but think of everyone that was in there that was lost. They went from the fires of that jet engine to the fires of hell that will never be quenched. And they had no clue what was about to take place. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's a scary thing. The Bible says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. See, we all don't live the same amount of time. You have no guarantees of even tomorrow. I mentioned before the message actually started, I mentioned about in Chicago, Illinois, in the month of July, I believe it was either 75 or 78 people that were murdered. I'm not talking about people who died in car wrecks. I'm not talking about people who died of heart attacks. I'm not talking about people who died any other way, in that just simply somebody murdered them. And I'll guarantee you, most all of them did not expect to be murdered that month of July. They expected to be around in August, but they're not around in August. They died. And if they died without Jesus, they're burning in hell for eternity. The only ones of those that are in glory and enjoying the presence of God are those who sometime in their life came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. Only those. You see, you can wait too long. These people waited too long. That 100 years wasn't long enough. But you take someone that wants to put things off to the last minute, you'll just keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. I heard a preacher say several years ago that he thought probably the favorite word of the devil to people on earth is tomorrow. You're going to get saved. Just put it off till tomorrow. Just not today, just tomorrow. And yet the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Don't put off the warning. Get saved today. But then there was the work before the storm hit. Now, we know that this world isn't going to be around forever, and we know people are going to die. And let me just say, for believers today, okay, you're secure in Jesus. Thank God for that. That's wonderful, isn't it? To know you're going to heaven when you die, and that if you died today, you go to heaven. But I want you to think about this for a second. Your lost loved ones, the people you work with, the people living in your neighborhood, when they die, your chance to win them to Christ is over. It's done. When they die, that's it. Sure, you can go tell somebody else, but you'll never have another opportunity to bring them to the Son of God. Your only time to do that is now while they're alive. Well, Noah, in the work before the storm, was to build the ark. Now, I can only imagine what that must have been like. Some of you have seen some clippings of the replica of the ark that was done by the people from the Creation Museum up south of Cincinnati. Now, I've not seen it. How many here have seen that? You've seen it in person. Raise your head. Is it as mammoth as what they say? That's gigantic, isn't it? Now, but they did it with all kinds of workmen. They got a lot of Amish folks out there that are great carpenters that do a lot of the work. And they use cranes, different things like that. All Noah had to work with was himself and his three boys to build that entire ark. I dare say that took a lot of work. I know in keeping up with the building of what was going on up there, the replica of the ark, that you know the people that were building that ark took a lot of abuse from folks. A lot of abuse in the press for building that thing. Now granted, that big ark up there, that's not going to save anybody from a coming judgment. But the ark that Noah was building offered enough for anybody who would want to come, they could have come in. I mean, it was gigantic. And they put it together. Can you imagine how much work that took? And after you think about 60 years, they'd have gotten a little tired of it, wouldn't you think? But they kept working or they'd have drowned too. God prepared an ark of safety for everybody so that you don't have to face the judgment fires of the damned for eternity. And he did that by the giving of his own son. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 15, beginning in verse 3, he says how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, he says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, and yet
I've got the verse mixed up. Let me turn to it. Romans chapter 5. And I started thinking ahead, and that's a mistake with this brain. Romans chapter 5, verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, and yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says in John 3:16 through verse 18, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God has provided an ark for every man, woman, boy, or girl in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Whoops, almost lost that, didn't I? Somebody was about to get wet, Chima. There you go. What a marvelous gift of God. To leave it open for everyone. I think about my background, brought up in a drinking home and a cursing home. And that's how I grew up, knowing Jesus as only a curse word in my home. You know, when he died on the cross for my sin, he knew every time I'd use his name as a curse word, and yet he still died for me. He knew every wicked thought I'd ever had, any wicked thing I'd ever do. And yet he loved me so much. As Paul said, he loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. What a great Savior. And in 1971, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior, he took me in. He gave me eternal life. The Spirit of God came to live within me. And I am safe and secure. I am redeemed. I am sealed unto the day of redemption because of his marvelous work. And he'll do it for anyone who will come to him. I don't care where you're from. I don't care how many languages you speak or what languages they are. I don't care how big of a house you live in, whether you make tons of money or you make no money. You come to Jesus and he will save you today. But I want you to understand, when your heart stops beating, time is up. And if you've not taken Christ, you will burn in hell for eternity. Oh, preparing for the coming storm. This is so vital. But you know, for those of you who are saved, what kind of work are we to be doing? We're not building an ark. That's true. But he's given us something to do. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There are almost 8 billion people on planet Earth right now. And over half of those have never heard a clear presentation of Jesus Christ. I mean, many of them would recognize the name for one reason or another, but most of them have no clue he is the Son of God. No clue that when he died on the cross, he was dying to pay their sin debt. No clue that 3 days later, he bodily rose up from the dead. They have no clue. They have no clue that if they'll turn to Jesus, he'll save them. They think their false religions are okay. And Jesus gave the command to every one of us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the work we're to be doing right now, because the storm of judgment is coming. God warned about the outcome. In Revelation 21:8, he says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and idolaters and sorcerers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." He said in Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The only way you escape that is in the Son of God. There are people right now living their life in wickedness. They have no clue about what's coming. If they die in that state without Jesus Christ, somebody's got to warn them. I was reading the story about Hurricane Katrina, how in New Orleans, when they were pretty sure that it was going to hit New Orleans, they actually had a plan of using the city buses to evacuate people out of the city. They did the first evacuation, and then they were going to take the buses around about 3 days before it hit, and they were going to pick up people and to take them to a place north of I-12 where they would be safer. But then for some reason, they decided not to do that. They decided that they would wait even longer and then go into the neighborhoods and pick up people and take them to the Superdome. Well, they did pick up a few people, but the storm started and then a levee broke. And then they couldn't pick up anybody because all the buses were underwater. They knew the storm was coming for a long time. But they waited too long. And it doesn't make any difference how good their intentions may have been. A whole lot of people died because they waited too long. There are people who die and go to hell because they've waited too long. There are people that will die and go to hell because God's people waited too long before they decided they'd finally get serious and live for Jesus. Now is the time to live for Him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. God, deal with hearts and lives today, preparing for the coming storm. Father, if there's any here without Christ, convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. May they understand the peril they are in. No matter what their age, they are a heartbeat away from hell if they're without Christ. And God, deal with Christians today. It's time God's people get serious about the task at hand in winning the lost to Jesus. Have Your way in every life. I plead it in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many can say this morning by simply raising your hand, "Well, thank God, preacher. If I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. I've been born again and I know it. Praise the Lord." Would you slip your hand up as a testimony of the Lord? You know you're saved. You know you're going to heaven when you die. God bless you. Thank you. Put them down. That's most hands. But there were a few hands that were not raised. Listen to this Bible verse, friend, if you could not raise your hand. 1 John 5:13 declares, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." God wants you to have eternal life and know it. Is there someone this morning that simply by raising your hand, you'd be saying to me, "Preacher, I don't know for sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. But I sure don't want to die and go to hell. Please pray for me this morning." Would you slip your hand up where I could see it? God bless you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that hand. Somebody else. "Preacher, I just don't know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. But I sure don't want to die and go to hell. Please pray for me." Somebody else, just slip your hand up where I can see it. Somebody else. God bless you. Thank you. I see that hand. Somebody else. Somebody else. I'm not going to come to you or embarrass you. Yes, thank you. Someone else. Are there some Christians today You know, you think it would be totally irresponsible and even criminal for the people in state government to know such a horrific storm was coming and not do everything they could to get people ready to save their lives. We'd think that was criminal. I just want to say that's not nearly as criminal. Knowing that judgment is coming and that those who die without Jesus will burn in a sinner's hell forever. To just go about our lives like everything's all right and not be doing everything we can to warn them. Are there some believers today who say, "Preacher, I'm ashamed of myself. I've not been the witness I ought to be for Christ. The testimony I ought to be for Christ. And God is dealing with my heart. Please pray for me." Would you slip your hand up, child of God? Would you do that? All over the auditorium. Many hands. God bless your heart. Father, bless in this invitation. I don't believe we have preaching to put on a show. We have preaching for decisions to be made for our God. Now, Lord, there are people here today that don't have heaven settled. I can pray for them, but my prayer can't save them. They must come and receive Christ themselves. The Bible invitation is whosoever will may come. They could come to Jesus this morning and have eternity settled. I pray they'd come. I pray for believers today. The judgment storm is coming. It is sure. It is powerful. It is deadly. And we're letting people die and go to hell all around us. God, I pray, you've convicted hearts. I pray there'd be Christians come and not only plead your forgiveness, but ask, dear God, that you would use them to bring others to the Savior. Have your way in every life, in Jesus' name.